want to take it from the beginning of Parakeet again. Okay, just to try to really get it down. Okay, let's move quickly through the words and try to go a little bit weiter. But again, the yesod is so important that it would be foolish to try to gloss over it. Okay, let's see. Kamo shahayu shoalim b'nei adam be'eza tzad yizka adam lahatzlacha ruchnis al yidei mitzvos agashmias. Again, just as we spoke in chapter 6 and 9 about the question of the philosophers. How does doing a physical act improve my spiritual existence? Kachem shoalim al limud ha-Torah b'mitzvoseh v'diktukeh. Similarly, the philosophers say, I don't understand how when you learn Torah, when you learn about Torah matters, somehow that is supposed to give you olam haba. How does a person earn a spiritual reward for learning about nezek, for learning about shor, v'habor? You're sitting and learning bava kama. You're learning about an ox that gores a cow. You're learning about a beam that runs into a barrel. What is the point of all of this? It seems to be like the petty details of physical reality. Wouldn't it make more sense? This is what a philosopher would say. Shayanira bedaitam, in their understanding of things, ki yoser yatzliach kesher yasig beinyan hayesodos, uvemahus hagalgalim, uvesichlim hanefratim. Now, we mentioned last time, again, the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, in the second chelek in Perek Yud Aleph, talks about what these concepts are. But again, to keep it simple, right? Or to just explain, you know, the philosophers want us to imagine, why are you wasting your time with the nitty gritty details of a sif katan in the Mishnah Berurah? Why are you getting caught up in the petty study of physical reality, right? Of how many lugin are in this mikvah, or how many saw are in this mikvah? Right, and what's the halachic definition of basar v'chalav? Right, why don't you explore and try to understand yesodos and mehus hagalgalim? Why don't you understand the universe, the grandiose world above? Why don't you understand sichlim nefradim, which again in the Rambam's language, in the Mor Nevuchim, that's what he calls angels. Study angels, study the heavenly spheres, study the underlying principles of reality, and you spend all your time, you know, being down on a drop of blood, like the Gemara says about David HaMelech, right? That David HaMelech is such a great, powerful king, but he's trying to determine, is a woman muteres labayla? Is this blood stain really red? Is she anida? Is she permitted to her husband? A philosopher thinks we're wasting our time with pettiness. Lakach daitam ki atzlachas ha'adam basagas hadvarim ha'ilu. In the eyes of the philosopher, the success of a person is entirely dependent upon his understanding of these things. Understanding the maturation of the mind, of one's philosophy, of the bigger picture. Vidaitam bahasharas hanefesh, shenishar haseichel asher kana ha'adam b'chayev. And what remains of a person at the end of one's life is nothing other than the sum total of their intellect. The ideas that they have acquired in their lifetime, that's what remains after a person is dead. As we tried to explain last time, while the table in front of me, the physical table, may not last forever, but the conceptual idea of table can never be destroyed. Right? We may have to redefine it, but that's what a philosopher loves to do. I want to try to define, what is the definition of table? What is the definition of chair? What is the definition of life? Right? So the ideas, when a person lives in a realm of ideas, so then, you know, they feel that that's eternity. That's what the philosophers believe. And we believe the opposite. We believe that when a Jew shakes a lulav and blows a shofar and is involved in physical things, or even when he studies those things, and that's the chiddush of Lima Torah, he's nurturing his soul. And the soul is independent of the sum total of one's knowledge. Right? A person who is a pashut, a yid, who keeps Torah and mitzvos, and is not an intellectual or a philosopher at all, is going to, in fact, have a great eternity, as the Maharal is going to write very scathing words against the philosophers. You need to know. First of all, in addition to the fact that it's complete kfira, to say that you're only as good as your brain is, you're only as good as your ideas or your mind or your philosophy is, more than that, says the Maharal, it actually goes against logic to say such a thing. And the Maharal proves it in a very creative way. Okay, here's where we ran into a little trouble. Let's see if we can get the words a little better now. V'zeh ki heim omrim, ki amakabul hamuscholos hu achona b'nefesh hamedama. Behu mekabel hamuschalos. Okay. Here's how the Maharal again explains it elsewhere. The Gemara says, as we mentioned, that when the Vua was taken away from the prophets, it was given to who? It was given to fools and to children. Now, think about it. What is Nevuah? Nevuah is a very high level of connection. Right? So what do the philosophers claim? The philosophers claim, if you want to be big, if you want to be great, if you want to be eternal, if you want to tap into Nitzchias, you need to have a lot of ideas. How ironic is it then that Nevuah, which is like the highest levels of understanding of things, is input from beyond, from the heavenly realm, is dafka given to a person who's not so smart at all. The Gemara says animals have the ability to see things that human beings, with all our wisdom and all of our speech and all of our creativity, are not able to access. A child, in a certain sense, has an easier time being a Baal Ruach HaKodesh than a big Chacham. A Shota who walks around claiming that he sees things or knows things about the future is probably more correct than the person who spends his whole life trying to study and understand and trying to understand things. Okay? So the philosophers believe that what is the nefesh? That the nefesh is really just sort of a kli to be filled with the ideas that the philosophical individual is collecting. U'me'achar she'ein kan rak hachana bilvad, im kein im nomar ki hash'aras hu mitzar ha'seichel shekana, lo yeh hash'aras la'odom atzmo. What does the Maharal mean by that? The Maharal says, if the essential you, is just things that you have gathered into your life from the outside, ideas that you have collected, right? So then what were you before you had all those ideas? What was the essential you before you gathered those ideas? And again, it's working almost against the grain, because again, the katan, the child, has an easier access to nevuah than the philosopher. The shota has easier access to nevuah than the philosopher. So all those ideas that you're acquiring, all the seichel that a person acquires in this world, if that's an input, if that's something that's being put into you through your effort, as opposed to hands off like a katan or a shota or an animal, right? So then that means you're acquiring it. It's not really that there's a you that has to precede all of that. She'ein safek ki kasher yimtza ba'odem hamuschalos uv'metzios hamuschalos lo timtza achana. So again, if you're just the sum total, if your nefesh, if your soul, is sort of, again, just a kli to collect ideas, right? So that means that you're only going to be as big as the ideas that you collect, but those ideas are outside of you. Those ideas are coming to you mibachutz. And it's not being put into you by Hashem, it's ideas that you, with your brilliant mind, are gathering, are acquiring. And if you'll say, well, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if it's the neshama that Hashem blew into me, or it's the ideas that I acquired, the ideas themselves being eternal? What's the difference? Sof yeh hash'aras l'seichel shekana adam. What difference does it make if my existence forever is my seichel, or if my existence is just the nefesh itself? The difference is the following. Im kein nomar gam kein, she ha'adam nechshav nishar ba'olam hazeh, Kesher nishar beso v'shar kinyano u'mikol shekein banav u'bnei banav. Because if it's true that a person is made up of the things that he acquires over a lifetime, so that means that when you die, well, that means your children are still in this world, right? And your house is still in this world, and your possessions are still in this world. So in a certain sense, you haven't really died. Now, the truth is, we believe that as Jews. In a certain sense, your children are a hemshech of you. And the Maharal himself actually discusses that in his Sefer on Hanukkah, right? But here he's using it as more of a rhetorical question, which is, again, if a person is only as good as the acquisitions in this world, so what does it mean? After a person's body dies, and part of his acquisition still lives on in this world, so which part of him has moved on to this eternal existence? V'lamiya nechshav sheyesh hash'aras la'adam kasher nishar davar she'inu etzema adam. And why would I want to define my eternity based on something which is not essential to the person? As much as my child is a reflection of me, as much as the house that I purchased with my hard-earned money is a reflection of me, but it's not me. And the Maharal says the same thing is true for your ideas. The same thing is true for your philosophy. Your seichel is not you. Ki elu hamuschalos einam etzem ha'adam. the essence of a person is not his ideas. Via nase ha'adam eloki, shal yidei ha'sagaso kona ha'seichel, v'hu yishar nitzri ha'yesh shibush galdu mizeh. To say that a person is nothing other than his ideas, and to say that a person's attainment in this world is only to the degree that he refines and defines his philosophy, and that's his eternity, there's nothing more inaccurate than this. There's nothing more corrupt than this. It's so foreign to what we believe. Because we believe, Hashem, Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi Tahorehi. I was great before I learned anything, before I knew anything. And again, the Katan has greater access to Nevuah in a certain sense than the big philosopher. V'yoser Mizeh, and even more than this, says the Maharal, we'll go a step further, more than this, Ki Yeha Nitzchias Nikne B'mikra. Think about it, all the things that you acquire in this world are acquired B'mikra. Are required by happenstance, right? Now, again, I picked that book intentionally off the shelf and I chose to read it. But how did you even have access to that book? How did you have access to that professor? How did you have access to that idea? How did you come to learn the things that you learned just by experiencing them? There's an element of chance to all of it. There's an element of mikra. There's something non-essential about it. Sherei elu hamuskalos niknim la'odim b'mikra, kasher kano osam. Right, you acquired a little bit of this, a little bit of this philosophy, a little bit of that philosophy. V'davar zeh b'mikra. It's all random in a certain sense. V'efshar haya b'lo muskalus. V'im kein kinin ha'nitzchi yeh b'mikra. So the question that we're asking on the philosophers, if you hold that a person is nothing other than the sum total of the ideas that he collects, and the ideas themselves are sort of random or by chance, whatever you had access to, that became your philosophy, whoever influenced you with their ideas, so then what? So then your eternity is random? Your eternity is mikra? It happens to be the people you met, the books that you read, the ideas that you've absorbed? V'davar zeh hiskimu alav she'ein roi shia metzios mikra kara klal. Even the philosophers would like to imagine that the essence of a person or the eternity of a person shouldn't be the part of himself that is not really a definition of self, that is mikra, that is chance, that is of lesser quality, of lesser essence. Va'af metzias shehu l'sha. Even to say something, the existence of something temporarily is defined by something superficial is something we wouldn't want to say. All the more so to say my eternity is what? Is mikra. That my mind, my ideas, which came to me from this input or that input, from this idea, from that idea, and when you add that all up, that becomes my eternity. That it's random. My eternity can't be random. How could it be that the peak achievement of a human being, shehi nitzchis, nase ha-mikra, how could it be that it all came about by mikra? That the essence, the part of me that's eternal, is random, is chance? Could a person say anything that's more absurd than this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so angered by this way of thinking because it is so antithetical to what we actually believe. There's an interesting Ramban. The Ramban writes in Chumash, in Bereishis Perek Vav. The Ramban says that Hashem gets angry when we have ideas that are just foolish and that are obviously wrong. When you do something that is illogical, Hashem is angry. Like, why are you being so stupid? Why are you not thinking clearly? So, on top of the fact that what the philosophers believe, it's anti-Torah, but it's also illogical. Because if you follow it through, what you're basically saying is that a person's development, the essential person, is nothing other than a series of random inputs from the outside. So Hashem, says the Maharal, is angered by that. Right? Hashem's angry that you're taking an approach that's anti-Torah, and Hashem's angry that you're taking an approach that's against the Seichel itself, as he says. V'teida ki hatov shebedivrayim hi kfira b'tchias hamesim. What the philosophers are trying to suggest is really a rejection of one of the fundamentals of our faith, tchias hamesim. Why? Sheledaitam shehash'aras hu has l'seichel. Because the philosophers who believe that the remnant of a person, the eternity of a person, is his mind, so that means that what? That means lo yihye kan misa, ve'ain't kan tchia, kasher ain't kan misa. You're not allowing a part of the person to die, namely the body, in a certain sense, is supposed to die. The neshama is supposed to live on. But again, if you're defining a person by his experience in this world, by the ideas he acquired in this world, in a certain sense, you're never really letting a part of him even die. And because he's not dying, then there can't be a rebirth, there can't be a tchias hameisim. So that's an undermining of a core principle of what we believe as Jews. So look what the Maharal says, and these are the sharpest words we've seen so far in the whole Sefer. Lakach, banai, my children, or maybe bani, I don't think he's writing to one son, banai, it's only Klal Yisrael, my beloved children. Im yeftucha chatom b'divrei chalak lakos lashon lahachnif labali mada. If your averos, if the sinful part of you is tempted to be impressed by the divrei chalak lakos, means that the smooth talk, right? It's easy to be impressed by a person who speaks a philosophical language. It's easy to hear a person give a fancy lecture and use all sorts of philosophical terms. And you start to think like, wow, that person is the greatest, right? If a person becomes wowed, if a person becomes impressed to the point that he thinks that only the Bali Mada, that so to speak, only the intellectuals are the ones who are really making it in this world, right? Latet lahem levad sheim v'she'eris, that those are the ones who, so to speak, have their eternity, that the Bali Mada, that the minds, the big minds are the ones who are really successful. But the Pasha de Yid, who's a Bal Maisa, the Pasha de Yid who puts a penny in the pushka every day, or straps a black box to his arm, or walks around with a palm branch, that what's that going to add up to? And all the more so a person who sits and just learns about a palm branch. What are you learning about a palm branch? A little bit split like this, a little bit like that. The pitum fell off, it's a little bit like this. What's considered a psul, right? Those who mock that and say, that's not going to get you anywhere in the world, says the Maharal, don't listen to them. Don't be enticed by their smooth talk. Al ta'avev al tishma lehem. Do not desire them, don't listen to them. La'avod dam nefashos nikiyim v'tzadikim. Their attitude knocks off so many heiliga, sweet, pure, holy Jews, right? Who aren't intellectuals in that way, who aren't studying the angels and the universe, right? But are Jews who are sitting and working on a Mishnah Brura, are working on a line in a Gemara, right? Those people are also, and those people who are living it, the farmer in the field who's being careful not to plant kalayim, right, is much bigger, is tapping into something much greater than a person who's philosophizing about random facts, random ideas, according to his understanding. Says the Maharal, Banai, my beloved children, I'm warning you. Al tilchem lochem kazavim. Don't engage in foolish wars. Don't get involved in these foolish debates. Va'al tis ava limit'am osayhem. Ki nofes titufena shepsusayhem ki'ilu davash v'chalav tachas lashonam. Right? Don't even taste it. Don't get involved in it. Because once you taste it, you start to be, you know, again, it's easy to be impressed by a person who, so to speak, has honey and milk beneath their tongue, who speaks in a smooth way, you know, in a way that they ask questions. Who's to say that 2 + 2 is really 4? Maybe I can prove that 2 + 2 is really 5. Right? And all sorts of fancy things like that. Achein besocha mar hamaves hakvira b'asharas hanefesh. What the sum total of what they believe is a rejection of the eternity of the soul, and by extension a rejection of Tchias HaMeisim, and by extension a rejection of what Olam Haba really is, and by extension a rejection of what Torah really is. Al kein banai harcheik mipesach besam. Stay far away from the entrance to these places. Va'al tavo b'shareihem. Don't go into their gates. Ki yifarku meitcha ha'emuna ha'mitis. Because hanging out with this crowd is only going to move you farther and farther. You'll become so convoluted in your ideas that you won't know the truth, the simple truths of a Jew who keeps Torah and mitzvos. According to them, you know how corrupt their way of thinking is? That if a person has the right ideas, even if their actions are anti-God, right? We've all heard stories of philosophers who were involved in their personal lives in very perverse behavior. Right? An ethics professor who lived a very unethical life. And when he was asked about it, he said, what, if I taught trigonometry, I'd have to be a triangle? Just because I teach ethics doesn't mean that I can't have sexually immoral relations with my students. Right? Do you realize how far that is from Torah? So the Maharal says, l'divrayim, according to them, as long as you have the right philosophy, afim yasa maisim habilti ritzuyim al Hashem, hayakona hasharas. A person acquires eternity, even if they do the wrong things, but as long as their mind has the right ideas. That is so far from what we believe. It is so far. Uvezeh parku ol yirashamayim. And in doing throw, they throw off the entire yoke of the awe of heaven. Okay? So let's stop here for tonight. Now that that's the yesod. The yesod is that what the philosophers claim is totally illogical, in addition to being anti-Torah. And now we'll be able next time, Amir Tzashem, to get into this Gemara, the famous Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, about the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, and how the Gemara says, but without Yirah Shemayim, the whole thing is utterly worthless. And the Maharal is going to explain to us, again, in his unbelievably creative and brilliant way, how each of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah represents a different aspect of reality, and how each step of the way we have to make sure that there's a proper Yirah Shemayim along the way. But God forbid, again, to believe that first and foremost, that Ba'alei Mada matter and Ba'alei Masa don't matter. No such thing. Ba'alei Masa matter a lot. A person who lives a life of Torah and Mitzvot matters a lot. And the philosophers fail to understand that what? That the Neshama is an Etzem Eloki Nitzchi. That the Neshama itself is perfect and eternal. Torah and Mitzvot help us to maintain that order, like we learned in the earlier Prakim. But a person's success in this world is not the sum total of their philosophy, regardless of their actions. Again, after we work that out, we'll have to then come back and ask the question, so what is Lima Torah? Right? So what is Lima Torah? What is a machlokes between the Ketzos and the Nesivos? Right? What is a Lamdish Shaila of the Shagas Aryeh? What is that worth? How does that really work? Doesn't that move us into the realm of the theoretical and away from the Lamaisa? So that's a question we'll have to come back to, Amir Tzashem. Okay, but we'll stop here for tonight, and I hope it's even a little clearer now than we had it on Sunday night. Baruch Hashem, and Amir Tzashem, we'll continue with Hashem's help.
Thank you.